cliffcentral.com.
Justice, this is one hell of a quiet week. I don't know if we're going to find anything to talk about.
There's
nothing going on, obviously.
So absolutely nothing going on.
When we last connected with you, by the way, if you've just come in, cliffcentral.com on the 1st of June, a brand new month, and a brand new month of troubles for the president with Justice Malala. It's brought to you by Nando's, as it is every week at the same time. So you had all kinds of things to say before the NEC meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened at the NEC meeting? Right?
Well, we know what... So it's interesting that when we spoke on Thursday, last Thursday, a lot of guys on Twitter, people saying, oh, Justice, you're going to pay Gareth Cliff a lot of money. A lot of money.
Oh, $100, right?
That's a lot of money. Because Jacob Zuma is going to go and, you know.
800 and...
And I said that. I started thinking, and on Friday, the Mail and Guardian came out with a report saying that out of the NEC's 106 members, 54 look like they were definitely behind the motion for Jacob Zuma to go.
How many actually voted against the president?
It didn't even come to a vote. 72 people spoke in the meeting.
Oh.
Only 18 spoke against Jacob Zuma. Out of the 72 who spoke.
How did the rest, the majority of speakers, how did they find enough material to say that was positive?
Yes.
Now, that would be an interesting story.
That is the real story.
I understand that what happens at these NECs is that they go in, but they've got to leave their phone and their iPad and all their digital devices at the door.
Yeah.
And so it's a closed session.
Yeah. And this practice started about 2 years ago when people actually hand in all their devices and so forth and so forth. So... well, I mean, that's quite interesting as well, because people were getting text messages from people inside that meeting. People were being forwarded messages. Reporters were getting what's going on inside.
Oh, really?
As President Jacob Zuma closed that meeting on Sunday evening, already some reporters were getting texts. So you know, I'm not sure just how the security is done and whether... you know, people were getting stories from 8 p.m. that now he's not going. By 9 p.m., people were saying, oh, he's standing up to speak. 10 p.m., he was telling people, if I see more of this, then I will, you know, come at you. So I'm not quite convinced that everyone's phone was off. There's a beautiful, is it a meme, of a picture of someone texting under the table.
Oh, yeah.
And people making jokes about that's NEC members as President Zuma is speaking, them sending all these messages out. So, you know, there you have it. What happened is that essentially Joel Nyatitsenda, who's well known for being one of the big brains in the ANC, went out there and said, President Jacob Zuma, it's interesting because his wording, from what I understand, was please consider resigning. Mm. There are many people in the ANC who say Joel Nyatsitenza was being weak. He should have said resign. That's a motion on the table. Yeah. And that motion would have had a seconder and it would have gone to a vote. Instead, he stood up and said, President Jacob Zuma, will you consider resigning in the interest of the movement? Now, that's very, very interesting for me, because Jacob Zuma could have just stood up and said, okay, thank you, Comrade Joel. I'm going to consider it. And step outside for 5 minutes and come back and said, I've considered it.
And I don't want to.
I don't want it. Let's move on now. Thank you very much. Then they'd have discussed a lot more stuff. Finished on time. Spent time with the family. Instead...
Had to spend the whole weekend.
Yeah, spend the whole weekend discussing whether he should consider. I mean, we know what he'd have considered and what he'd have come back with.
Yeah.
So there you have it. President Zuma isn't out. What it means, and And I think this is important. First of all, I think even people like me, I've always held that Jacob Zuma is still in charge, is still in, on top in the ANC. But something like this, and the numbers come in, and we start panicking and saying, oh, he's going. And that's why you saw the rent strengthen, people saying, oh, no, this is it. He's going now. But it is clear that Jacob Zuma is still in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in the structures of the ANC. On Sunday, when people were debating this, on the front of the City Press, on the front of the Sunday Times, were the stories about the extent of the Gupta family's grip on the ANC and on Jacob Zuma in particular. Basically, Jacob Zuma's son Duduzane, the Gupta family, are running a mafia racket in which they strong-arm state-owned enterprises, whether it's Eskom, many, many others, Danel, to do their bidding, and they make big cash out of it. This morning, there's stories on the Daily Maverick showing that out of every 50 million rand that was used to buy locomotives, 10 million rand went to the Gupta family. So essentially, what you're seeing is the stripping of South Africa. And yet, all through Sunday, this debate went on. No one spoke about those emails that have been leaked to the newspapers. No one said, what's going on here? Those emails are so damning. Those emails are so bad. You know, after we spoke on Thursday morning, we spoke, and then academics from various universities issued a report. Those academics said, and I'm sure Sia has the report on his laptop there. I can see it. It's 72 pages long. That report said South Africa has undergone or is undergoing a silent coup due to the Gupta family. If you wanted to see evidence of that silent coup, or what the SACC said a week and a half ago, that this is a mafia state, read those emails. In those emails, okay, let's take Jimmy Mani. Jimmy Mani sends a letter to the Gupta saying, oh, it's me, Justice, and Sia and Mabale. We want a job on the board of Transnet or SAA. He doesn't go to the structures of South Africa, the board or the...
No.
He goes to the Guptas. Let's take Musebenzi Zwane, the minerals minister. His CV is forwarded to the Guptas first for them to say, oh, okay, this guy, it makes sense for him to be the Minister of Minerals. And lo and behold, a month later, he's appointed as the Minister of Mineral Resources. Think about Faith Mutambi, who we've spoken about again and again on this show. If anyone should be the incompetence at SABC. But this person sits in a meeting of cabinet.
Uh-huh.
Okay, sends notes to the Gupta saying this is what was discussed in cabinet today, and essentially saying this is how you position yourself to now eat and loot.
Is she the mole?
Essentially, well, basically saying, in terms of my portfolio, these are the things I can now do. For example, there's one email in which she discusses the powers of the minister. And
yes,
the powers of the minister include... At that session, the discussion was about, let's give the minister more powers to do 1, 2, 3, meaning that she could approve whether it's set-top boxes, for example, or
yeah,
or whatever, some or other thing. And therefore, now that she has been given that power, she's saying to them, oh, you can go ahead with that little ka-ka-ka, and then, boom, they are going to put in, and she'll just sign off on it. You think about... weekend special, Des van Rooyen. Des van Rooyen has been telling us for a year and a half, since December 2015, that no, I went on holiday, Mabale, get this, I went on holiday for one day.
Yes.
To Dubai.
Yeah.
On my own cash, okay?
Yeah, yes.
But I got there and I thought, oh, it's very expensive. Oh, no. And so I turned right back and came home.
Now, hang on.
Des van Rijn made a poor judgment call, guys. Why won't you just accept it for what it is?
I like a one day holiday myself.
aren't there admissions in these emails that are grounds for criminal prosecution? Because there's obvious perjury, there's obvious embezzlement, there's clear control of the state by private entities, which in our constitution is not allowed.
Exactly. So, I mean, I want to really thank you for that, Gareth Cliff. You're a man of an upstanding man of the law and all that. So let's say you. I agree with you. Perjury, all sorts of things going on. Yeah. By the way, so these emails, in terms of Des van Rijn.
Yeah.
It turns out that, you know, he was paid for by the Guptas. The CEO of the company arranged everything. He stayed in a hotel, thanks to them, picked up in a Jaguar. You know, we know even the make of the car, everything. So this guy's been lying consistently to the people of South Africa for a year and a half. But no, it's okay.
It's okay. Keep lying.
Keep lying. You ask about, Surely the law enforcement agencies should be doing something about this. They should. But you've got, who can investigate this? So it could be the SIU, Special Investigating Unit. Mm-hmm. But for the Special Investigating Unit to do anything, President Jacob Zuma has to sign something called a proclamation saying,
yes,
you need to investigate the extent of the dealings between the Guptas and whoever in government.
He won't.
Oh yes, we used to have that Scorpions. Oops, sorry, they're called the Hawks now.
yeah, which and they're toothless.
The Hawks are a unit of the Zuma family, or should I say the Gupta family?
Yeah,
because whether it's Benning Tlemeza or someone else, they will not do anything about mm-hmm. this. They're too busy investigating Pravin Gordhan and
Robert McBride.
Oh, Robert McBride.
iPad.
Exactly. So. You know, when I was a kid, I read a very famous book called Catch 22. And in Catch 22, the main character is a soldier. Mm-hmm. I think his name is Yossarian. And it's the Second World War. And they keep telling him that you've got to fly 25 missions. So 25 missions to go and bomb the enemy and then come back. When you get to 25 missions, you can go home. But when you get to 24 missions, they say you got to go to 28 missions. And so you just when you think it's over, it's not over. And you're caught in this unending
tour of duty.
It's yeah, like never, exactly.
You're stuck in the desert shooting people.
Yeah, exactly. That's essentially it.
So look, the Hawks we can't rely on.
Yeah.
We can't rely on Shaun the Sheep in the National Director of Public Prosecutions.
No.
So even though these things are criminal,
yeah,
when there is evidence for criminality, can a citizen lay a charge? I mean, is there some other way to take this on?
I'm interested in all these people talking about the idea of a private prosecution. But first of all, I need to say, you know that the system is rotten. When people are trying to find ways outside of the law to prosecute the law. So a private prosecution is when Gareth Cliff or Mabalo Moloi decide, I'm going to lay a charge and get this done through the courts, but brought by not Shaun the Sheep at the NPA,
mm-hmm.
but someone else. Basically a private prosecutor doing it. That's what Gerinel has set up with some other organizations, I think Solidarity among them, AfriForum, I think, among them. So that is essentially when our own agencies have failed. That is what is left. And it's a terrible, terrible thing that you have to go outside the structures that you have set up to get the law to work.
Yeah.
But that's where we are. So will there be prosecutions? Will there be anything out of this? I doubt it. I shouldn't say anywhere else in the world, but quite frankly, there should by now be people in prison gear. There should be people who are being prosecuted already, and sadly, no one is. And the one person who should absolutely be in jail by now is Jacob Zuma, because there are 783 counts of fraud, corruption, and racketeering which have been proven already. So there's no doubt about this. But Sean,
someone has already gone to jail, even though for a short time.
Exactly. The briber has gone to jail for that. The bribee is still running South Africa. So basically, you have collapse of the law. The structures of the law cannot touch Jacob Zuma or his associates. So, you know, to segue into this, what I'm saying is what we're seeing is a vast criminal enterprise built around Jacob Zuma, his son Dudu Zwane, and the Gupta family.
Mm-hmm.
And what it says is that Jacob Zuma is powerful politically, he has stolen the ANC, and he has made sure that the ANC does what he wants. With the ANC stolen like that, he can make it do whatever he wants, whatever he does with it. And in the meantime, the Guptas are taking the cash and siphoning some of it to him, some of it to his son, and to their associates. So are we surprised that Dudu Zwane has an 18 or 20 million rand flat in Dubai? No, we are not. Are we surprised that Jacob Zuma wants to live in Dubai? No, we are not. When you start on the sly, you're the president of South Africa, and on the sly, you're trying to get citizenship of another country.
I mean, that's fairly damning. You don't need much more evidence.
You don't. And,
right?
And the evidence is all there. The evidence is becoming, it's so powerful that we can't ignore it. So we are in a catch-22 situation here. We know what is wrong. We know what should happen. We know how it happened, but we can't do anything about it. So Jacob Zuma stays in power and will most likely continue in power. And that's really,
you know what?
That's really it.
It's kind of depressing because it doesn't seem like there's any end game in sight, right?
Well,
surely.
I thought it was interesting yesterday in Parliament. You know, usually you have the president's budget vote, and then you have the EFF disrupting him and leaving, and so forth. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth for our listeners to go and read Musima Emane's speech yesterday. Musima Emane's speech was pretty good. But the thing that brought the house into chaos was when he said President Gupta and Baleka Mbete tried to shut him down. And there was a verbal fight about, oh, is it President Zuma or President Gupta? There's no President Gupta in here, and so forth. But if there is one way of describing all the things that we're going through, it is to say Jacob Zuma really is President Gupta.
Mm-hmm.
Or President Gupta is Jacob Zuma.
They're interchangeable.
They're interchangeable.
Important cabinet appointments. All the prerogatives of the president have been exercised by a man who is not elected and a man who's not even a citizen of this country.
A man who South Africans cannot say, oh, that's the president. You know, it would be, oh, is that one of the Gupta brothers? Which one is that one? That one or that one? But this is where we are. And I think it's worth really reflecting on for South Africans to say, what did Nelson Mandela say? What did Oliver Tambo? This year, the ANC NRC government has declared it the year of Oliver Tambo. Yeah. Everyone has an Oliver Tambo lecture.
Yeah.
No one says, my word, guys, what would Oliver Tambo say looking at South Africa?
But are you really going to try to appeal on that level? The level of history and legacy to a bunch of people who in the NEC are going to defend open thievery, corruption. I mean, that these people don't care. That it's their time to eat.
Thank you. And I think that is what is happening. Why was Joel Nyatitandze defeated in that NEC? Why are the stalwarts and veterans of the ANC essentially ignored and were ignored in that NEC this weekend? Mm-hmm. It's because they are making the fundamental mistake I'm making, and that is to think that there is an ANC, that the ANC of Mandela, the ANC of Tambo, that can bring those values back. Those values are over. They've been stolen. They've been taken. So to draw a line from where you're asking further on is to say the ANC is dead. The ANC is dead because if you start like me, oh, what did Nelson Mandela say? What did Tambo say? Well, sorry, that ANC doesn't exist. You're appealing to something that is totally over. And what you have is a bunch of thieves, a bunch of looting vagabonds who are essentially doing it for themselves and pocketing the cash, and out the door they go. Passports to Saudi Arabian passports in their back pocket. That is what you have. So what does the future look like with this thieving administration in place, this thieving president in place and his associates? And where is it taking us?
But then you hear all this bleating from the sidelines, from Cyril, from COSATU, from the SACP. Ineffective. Makes no difference.
It makes absolutely no difference. That part of the cry you're hearing from John Yatitanza, Cyril, COSATU, and other, it's a cry of helplessness. Because what has happened is that when they go to an ANC meeting or meet with Jacob Zuma, he says, why don't you join a branch?
Yeah.
And start raise making your issues changes through from the organization.
From the grassroots level.
Exactly, exactly. And they are defeated because they try to go to Morningside branch, for example. Morningside branch tried to meet about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The meeting was disrupted because new members had emerged at Morningside branch.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone said the real meeting of the Morningside branch will be at the 5-star hotel down the road. Certain people pitched up at the 5-star hotel, and guess what? They voted for Jacob Zuma's daughter as the branch chairperson. There you go. So there's a morning ANC in Morningside, and there's a new ANC in Morningside.
So try and capture the branches from someone who's been capturing things for a long time.
Exactly.
I defy you.
So all these people in the ANC who are saying, they are totally, totally
irrelevant.
Irrelevant. The ANC that they're talking about, the ANC that they know, it doesn't exist.
All those discussions we used to have about how real opposition will come from within the tripartite alliance are dead in the water. We now need to look at who is fighting for the people of South Africa. Who is? I mean, we've got this very odd coalition of very different ideologies in COPE, the IFP, the EFF, the DA. Are these people able to muster enough support to bring any real change?
Look, I think the next 2 years will be So if I can, there's one line that you can draw. Jacob Zuma wins on Sunday. Jacob Zuma's faction of the ANC wins in December, and Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma becomes president of South Africa, of the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 years, she stands as a candidate for the ANC president of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Sia gets excited and says, oh, maybe I should vote for her. No, yes, no. And then he says, no, I'll vote for Julius Malema.
Mm.
But then in the 2 years between December and a year and a half, between December and May, June, when we go to vote in 2019, I think we speak about the ND, the National Director of Public Prosecutions being stolen. We speak about the public protector being stolen. I mean, where is she when we're talking about ESCOM and the shenanigans there and so forth?
Nowhere.
You talk about all these institutions that have been stolen. I think the next 2 years will be about whether the IEC gets stolen, gets captured or not. If in 2019 the IEC is a strong, independent institution, then it doesn't matter. That coalition that you're talking about will do very well. In my view, in Gauteng, the ANC can kiss power goodbye in 2019. I think in this province, the ANC will go from where it is, I think it's 54%, to below 50%. Gauteng is going away from the ANC. So who will save us? It don't be a knight in shining armor arriving saying, I'm Superman. Boom, Mabale, you're saved now. It don't be. It will be, you know, coalition, you know, people building a messy something out of what we have. The second thing to watch out for is just how deep is the division inside the ANC, and will people have the gonads to do what Musiwa Lekota did in 2008-2009, and that is to say, you know what, it's time to walk away. Oliver Tambo, Nelson Mandela, that legacy, but this is not it, and it's time to walk away. Is Cyril Ramaphosa capable of that? People like Joel Nyetitanza, who keep on saying, oh dear, oh this, oh the great ANC, the mighty, glorious ANC, are they capable of that? Remember that these are people who did not support Lekota and Mbazi Mashilowa in 2009. They watched them leave and they said, no, we'll fix it from inside the house. Where are they now, 10 years, 7 years, 8 years later?
Well, there's no roof on the house.
Exactly.
It's been taken by the Guptas.
And so with that in mind, and with the fact that COPE did implode badly, will they have the courage to again say, it's time to walk out? I don't know if these people can walk away. You know, we say this, people like using the expression the good ANC and the bad ANC. The bad ANC being the Jacob Zuma ANC.
Mm.
But the good ANC is complicit in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who, if you take Cyril Ramaphosa, the Jacob Zuma administration was in trouble in 2012. Cyril Ramaphosa decided, you know what, I'm going to go in with Jacob Zuma as his deputy president. Jacob Zuma told his people, vote for Cyril, and Cyril got 75% of the vote in Mangaung. And so on January 12, 2013, Fitch issued a statement saying South Africa is fine because Cyril Ramaphosa is going to be the prime minister, essentially, of South Africa. So Cyril Ramaphosa took his name, his good reputation,
right,
and sugarcoated Jacob Zuma. Is he now capable of walking away from that Jacob Zuma? I don't know. So there is a possibility of a split in the ANC. But if you look at the 72 people who spoke at that NEC, only 18 spoke for Jacob Zuma to leave. Those who sat out of the others who spoke, the 54 who spoke, it's interesting for me that not all of them said we are pro-Jacob Zuma. They said, no, for the sake of the organization, let's not have this motion of no confidence. Let's work together inside the house.
Mm-hmm. Didn't
it's
work.
It's basically, there's a man in the house who's beating up his wife, his kids, everyone is terrorized in the house, but they're saying, let's not show the neighbors that we are fighting or that there's a monster.
Let's not call the police. We'll keep taking a beating.
Yes.
Because our husband really loves us. It's just he's having a tough time at work.
Exactly. That is essentially what is happening.
So when we say men are trash, let's turn the debate inwards in the ANC, because although this is a metaphor, it's in every way accurate.
It is. It's sadly so. It's very sadly so. So you have a situation here that is just unpleasant at so many levels. And I don't know if the ANC can walk out of that. So will there be a split? Possibly. I think there might be a walk away. COSATU seems to be saying walk away. And SACP certainly saying walk away. And a few other people pretty much saying the same thing. So it will be interesting to see what happens with that, but it's interesting times ahead. But no knight in shining armor, no risky. I think certainly look at what happens inside the ANC, and then you know Julius Malema, young guy. You look at what happened in France with Emmanuel Macron.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's continued to. Take away from the ANC. I think Musi Mamani, with speeches like yesterday, pity about Helen and her tweeting. But but I think all of them will gain from the ANC's failure to act against its president and failure to reform itself and fix itself. So a perfect storm. With all that stuff, but I think we need to do a reflection as South Africans about where we are. That we are not even outraged that the president has given his the country to the Gupta family. That is what it is, and I think we will pay for it if we don't do anything about it soon.
Oh my God!
There's one other story that I really would like to talk about.
Sure.
At Solima Paila's house, Solima Paila is the Deputy Secretary General of the South African Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people calling themselves the MK Foundation, Umkhonto weSizwe Foundation, pitch up at his house. A certain TV station owned by the Gupta family is there. And they say, we are here to have a friendly conversation about Solima Paila's attacks, they say, on Jacob Zuma. And basically, this is a threat that, you know, will take you out. There'll be violence if you don't keep quiet. At the same time, over the past 2 weeks, Makosi Khoza, I think you've interviewed her.
Where she's coming on the show soon.
Yeah. Makosi Khoza says to the Speaker of Parliament, protect me. Members of the ANC Youth League in KwaZulu-Natal have been circulating my address on social media, saying people should march to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Her children are in KZN, and essentially saying, stop saying what you're saying, stop being critical of President Jacob Zuma, or something will happen to you. This is a member of parliament on the ANC list. Solima Paila is the Deputy Secretary General of the SACP. He has been very vocal. He's the man who said, we don't have a president. Our president has been stolen by the Gupta family. He continues to say all these things. We come from a very violent place in South Africa. And to see the beginnings of this sort of violence is absolutely Incredible, and it shouldn't be happening. And I'm amazed that actually nothing has been done about it or is being done about it. And I think that Jacob Zuma needs to be confronted with, one, why is it people are doing these things in your name and you're not saying a word? He needs to tell us who those MK Foundation people are and why he hasn't said anything about the fact about what they're doing. He needs to tell them to cease and desist from what they're doing. And I haven't heard him say so. So I think we need, this is for me as a huge red flag. If we don't stop this now, we're going to have people attacked, killed, because they differ with Jacob Zuma or the MK whatever. It's absolutely wrong, and it should be stopped.
And he, so, but he of all people, now we can appeal to someone who we know during the very fractious times in KwaZulu-Natal had a lot to do with bringing people together and with taking the ANC and the IFP out of violence and into discussion. And this is the president.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's anything good on his copybook prior to him being president, it is this. He did a tremendous job for the ANC and for the country in trying to smooth those relations out with the IFP. He has good links with the king, with a lot of the hierarchy in the traditional leadership in KZN. He's respected by many people there. For him to tacitly approve of this is for him to betray that legacy also. Is there any part of him that will be left unblemished?
Exactly. I mean, this, for me, that so there was a by-election in Mutu.
Why was this important? I saw them making a big fuss of it over the weekend.
It's because this is an area where the IFP had lost to the ANC and the NFP, and in the last elections on August 3, there was actually essentially a tied result with IFP. Pretty much tied with ANC, NFP, and the administration couldn't work. There was no mayor for the past, I think, four months. Mm-hmm. They couldn't make the whole thing work. But this is a province, an area where the ANC has just been gaining ground since 1994. And the ANC sent Jacob Zuma, sent Cyril Ramaphosa, sent all the big guns. And what happens? Lo and behold, the ANC got a beating there. I think out of 19 wards, the ANC got 3, and the IFP got something, 16, something like that. I don't have the exact result. But the ANC got a big walloping in Mutu. And so for me, the key thing is, an ANC that is not in power in KwaZulu-Natal, will it revert to these kinds of actions? Will it become violent? Will it fall back on those bad traditions of the past or practices of the past? And I think that is something to think about very, very seriously at this time. So something needs to happen. Something needs to be done. But I think a message that says "not in our name," Jacob Zuma hasn't been using that message enough, and I think he needs to be seen to be saying those things.
Thank you, Justice. Another action-packed burning platform powered by Nando's. You can catch all of this on podcast if you missed any of it during the live discussion this morning. Thank you, Justice. We'll see you next week.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Justice Malala, everybody. CliffCentral.com.